Happy Friday to all of Turdville. Turd Ferguson here, returning on October the 16th, 2015. It's a Friday, which is good, because I think we all need a little R&R, but I'm here to set you up for what will very likely be a frustrating, painful week ahead. We're going to talk about what's going on the charts. We're going to talk about what's happening in the COT report. We're going to talk about the open interest and tie this all together so that you understand what is coming next, okay? I can tell you right now, my plan is to make this a public podcast as well, so I want to invite anybody that is listening to this that has come to us from another site to kick back, relax, and take in the next 20 or 22 minutes, whatever it turns out to be. Here at TFMR, we do this every day of the week. Well, not every day. Sometimes Thursdays we have recordings of our online webinars instead. But every day you get a podcast like this with a summary of all the day's events and trading action to get you not only caught up, but get you ready for the next day. It is my job to keep track of that. You get these podcasts and all the analysis for a whopping $10 a month. I think most people feel it's a pretty good bargain. So this is a public podcast, really done as a public service, because the action in the metals is so disgusting, so criminal, so fraudulent, that I need as many people to hear this message as possible. First and foremost, let's start out with the action today. If you've been following the metals the last couple days, you know, or likely know, that back on Wednesday, both gold and silver finally, for the first time since May, popped up above their 200-day moving averages. After being capped there rather severely, particularly silver. Silver was capped below its 200-day for 6 days, but finally got above. Actually closed above on a weekly basis this afternoon when the COMEX closed. The closing price of the front month December gold contract, 1182.30. The 200-day moving average today in the December contract, 1177.80. Silver on the December closed 1609. The 200-day moving average, 1604.5. But now your first two charts on this podcast page show you what immediately followed on the low volume, maybe 10% of the COMEX volume Globex, because gold continued to trade for about 3 hours or so, 3.5 hours. After the COMEX close. And what happened? Immediately it was set upon and drive backward. And as you can see on these 2 3-minute candlestick charts, not only did gold go down, it was forced sharply lower, particularly at about 4 o'clock Eastern time. Who's around at 4 o'clock Eastern time trading gold? Somebody was, and they shoved it all the way down through 1180, through the 200-day moving average, as low as 1174. The final trade I saw here on Friday late afternoon, 1176.70. And as we begin trading on Sunday, gold will be back below that all-important 200-day moving average. Clear, present price manipulation on the CME Group's COMEX and Globex platforms. Same thing in silver. Managed to close a few pennies, a nickel above that 200-day, hammered down to get all the way down to 16, came back a little, but you won't even believe this. Remember I said the 200-day moving average in the December silver was 1604.5. The final trade I saw was 1604. So silver also, come Sunday, will begin the week below its 200-day moving average, even though when the COMEX closed on Friday, it was well above. Simply remarkable. The other bit of news, and this is what, if you've been around TFMR, if you followed my work, whether on the Blogspot site or through this site for the last 5 years, I have been adamant about the utter manipulation and control of the paper markets by the bullion banks, the cartel banks, whatever you want to call them. What they do and what makes the COMEX pricing structure so inherently unfair is that these banks, as market makers, as some would call them, are able to just simply create new COMEX contracts out of the blue whenever there is demand. Now, to be fair, sometimes the short sellers are in there coming like crazy, and the banks have to take the long side, or they willingly take the long side, if you will. But most of the time where we see the open interest expanding, it's because the speculators, the trading funds, the hedge funds, whatever, are responding to a positive technical signal, and they're all crowding in to the COMEX paper market, chasing momentum, trying to get metals exposure, whatever. And what the malevolent, whatever you want to call them, market makers do is they simply issue new contracts to meet that demand. It's totally unfair, completely fraudulent, and borderline criminal. Why, Turd? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Look, think of it this way. Think of it this way. And think of the reaction of CNBC or Bloomberg or Cramer if this were the case in the stock market. Pick a company. Let's say Ford Motor Company. And let's just say on any given day, there are just 500,000 shares that is in the total float of that said company, of Ford Motor Company. Okay? Not 500 shares for bid or offer, just 500,000 shares, period. Okay? Now you've got a specialist or a market maker or somebody that tries to keep an orderly market, right, and match buys and sells. And basically, if there's good news or bad news, there's going to be more buyers or there's going to be more sellers. But there is a consistent, constant float of available shares on any given day. Price moves up to the point where a new equilibrium is reached and people are willing to sell what they have now to meet the amount of buyers, and you get this new equilibrium. Or price goes down to the point where finally there are enough buyers emerge to make a new equilibrium. That's how a fair market is supposed to work. The market maker in the stock does not see all of the new demand based off the good news, the good fundamental news, the good technical news, the new whatever. That market maker does not just simply issue new shares to the new buyers. The market maker in the stock just kind of stands back and lets the price reach this new equilibrium where buyers equal sellers. But that's not how it works in the metals on the COMEX. We breached the 200-day moving average back on Wednesday. On Wednesday and Thursday, as all this speculator money was coming in, the COMEX total gold open interest rose by 22,500 contracts. That means as speculators were looking to buy gold, banks, as market makers, weren't just simply standing back letting price rise until a new equilibrium is reached. No, they created new contracts from thin air. They didn't put any gold on deposit with the COMEX. Registered gold, total gold, still the same. They just simply issued new contracts, diluting the current amount and muting the price rise. Totally unfair. Like I said, fraudulent, bordering on criminal activity that they're able to do that. But that's how it works. We've documented this for 5 years. Back in January, over a two-week period, as price was shooting out of the gate in 2015, they issued 56,000 new contracts in 2 weeks at a pace just like they've done in the last 2 days, 22,000 in 2 days. Turd, how do you know it's the bank selling and the funds buying? Well, because we broached the 200-day moving average on Wednesday, causing all this speculator money to come flowing in. If we had a finite amount of contracts, how far would price have risen with all that new money coming in? Instead of $12, would it have been up 30? 50? What would the headline have been? How many more technical resistance points would have been taken out? How much more positive momentum would have been generated? Instead, these banks, these criminal banks, simply issue new paper to meet the demand, diluting the existing amount, squashing, muting the effect. They'll continue to do it until the momentum dies out. Once the momentum dies out, they'll give it a shove down. All the speculator money that came running in will go rushing back out. The banks will buy it all back and cover it all back up. And it'll be as if nothing ever happened. We'll get to that moment, because it's clearly coming, where the banks are going to tip it over. Probably coming as soon as Monday. Certainly probably next week. We'll talk about that when we discuss the COT in a minute. But you have to understand how inherently unfair and fraudulent the COMEX market structure is. Okay? Again, think of that from a stock market perspective. Think if the market maker, the investment bank, the whatever, was able to just simply print extra shares of Apple or Ford or whatever equity, whenever there was extra demand to tamp down the price rise. Oh my God, the outcry. But that's exactly what happens on the COMEX. Think about this. They issued 22,500 new contracts in 2 days. Every contract is an obligation for 100 ounces of gold. You take 22,500 times 100. That's 2.25 million ounces of gold. Let me repeat that so you understand the math. The banks, to meet all of this speculative demand and quash demand and hold back the price, issued 22,500 new contracts. There's 100 ounces of gold for every paper contract. That's 2.25 million ounces of paper obligations that they created in 2 days. Let me remind you, the total registered vault on the COMEX tonight is 181,000 ounces. The total vault, including all of the eligible gold, 6.7 million ounces. So, in just 2 days, to hold back demand, to mute the rally, to squash the momentum, the bullion banks, in their job as market makers, issued paper obligations for fully one-third of the gold in vaults on the COMEX. Incredible. Incredible that this is allowed. Incredible that this continues to this day and nobody cares. And the apologists will say, well, that's just fine. Because they don't have to make delivery because no one's looking to take delivery. And you said, you know, they also do it when the shorts come in. So everything's fine. What are you talking about? It's bullshit. It is fraudulent. So what would be a solution? Turds. Metal exchange. We'll give you 10 times leverage. If there's 5 million ounces in the vault at all times ready to deliver, okay. That may give you a total float of 500,000 contracts. That's all. Can't do any more than that. Okay? That is fair. That is fair. Not what we currently have. Ridiculous. Okay, a weekly update before we get to the COT and your warning. Look at the weekly chart of gold. That blue line is our nemesis line that we followed now for 2.5 years. We are above it, spending more time above it than we have since July of 2014. We're now, well, hell's bells, about $100 above it. You can imagine what's going to happen next if history is any guide. And look at the same weekly chart in silver with a trend line connecting the bounce back highs in August of 2013 with the highs of July 2014 with the highs of May this year. We're right at it, aren't we? And you wonder why silver wasn't allowed to go any higher. Its open interest up as well the last few days as the very same banks create silver contracts to tamp it down and hold it back. All right. In the long term, the trend has changed. Your next chart is the Japanese yen, which has declined sharply over the last 3 years, dragging gold down with it. We've been talking about that for over a year, but look at the trend change that we noticed 2 months ago and continues. It's a good sign for the long term. And then the miners, before we get to the COT, this is a weekly chart of the miners, so you can just see, I mean, if the miners are turning. And you missed this first little 30% from 105 to 135. Don't feel bad, as you can tell by looking at this chart. There's a long ways for them to go if they do actually begin a new bull market. And from a weekly standpoint, the technical indicators are neutral. A lot of resistance there at the 200-day moving average and at the 145 level. But nonetheless, the miners have likely turned and bottomed and turned as well. Okay, so here's your warning. You recognize, as I do, that the bullion banks utterly control the paper markets to their profit and to the extent that they do so for their central bank masters. You've got to understand where we are from a commitment of traders standpoint. Now, again, I don't mind the COT report. I think the BPR is a joke, but I don't mind the COT report because at least there's an equal number of buyers and sellers on it. We don't know who the speculators are. For all I know, they could be bank trading funds located offshore in the Cayman Islands, okay? So we don't know who the large specs are. you know, and we don't know who all the commercials are and all that kind of stuff. All we can do is look at it as a historical guide, hoping that the information we had in the past was accurate and hoping that this information is accurate. And then you try to connect the dots. Okay, you see the final two charts. There is a gold daily chart of the last 12 months and a silver one. And you see they're both marked with little bubbles there that say February 3rd and May 19th. Okay. Now, let's discuss the COT in context of those dates. This week, this last COT week, which ended, remember the COT week is Wednesday through Tuesday, and then a survey is taken. So this is the survey that was taken on this past Tuesday, right before gold and silver broke through their 200-day moving average the next day. We just discussed how many contracts have been added since. 22,000 gold contracts, 6,300 silver contracts. So the COT structure has deteriorated even more since this survey was taken. But we'll just go with what the survey says. For the COT week, again, we could go Wednesday through just this past Tuesday. Gold was up $21 and open interest was up $5,700 for the week. Internally, though, it's pretty ugly. The large specs in gold added more than 12,000 new longs and covered more than 18,000 new shorts. The gold cartel, the commercials, dumped 4,200 longs and added nearly 26,000 new shorts. This makes the large spec net long position in gold 117,000 contracts. Makes the gold commercial net short position 118,000 contracts. But like I said, that doesn't really do you much good without context. So, look at that gold chart with the Feb 3 and the May 19 bubbles on there. On Feb 3, close to the highs of the year, we'd come down after being brutally capped, like I said, where the cartel banks issued 56,000 new shorts in a period of 2 weeks. On the COT survey taken February the 3rd, with price at about $1,265, $1,260. Then the gold commercials were net short 203,000 contracts. On this report, it was 118. I'd say as of tonight, it's probably 140. So we're not quite as bad from a COT structure as we were February the 3rd. However, on May 19th, the other bubble, and as you can see what happened to price after May 19th as well, the net position of the gold commercials was 132,000 contracts. Like I said, tonight we're probably 140, if not more. So we're not as bad as February 3rd. We're worse, more bearish than May 19th. And you can look and see what happened in the periods shortly following those peaks. Thus, the warning. Silver is even worse. Silver for the COT week was almost unchanged, down 8 cents, but its open interest was up 5,100. And what was happening, remember, it was being capped, violently capped, sternly capped below that 200-day moving average. I mentioned earlier, there was a 6-day cap before price finally broke through this last Wednesday and managed to somehow stay above it these last 3 days. Well, while it was being capped, all of the buying pressure trying to shove it up was coming from the large specs, who were adding 5,700 longs and covering 5,200 shorts. Okay, that's 11,000 contracts of net buying. So who do you think was responsible for nearly 10,000 contracts of net selling? The silver commercials, the silver banks. In doing so, exhausting all that buying momentum by applying that cap, the large specs have grown their net long position in silver to 52,000 contracts. The ratio that we follow here, the net long ratio, anything under 2, hell, we were 1.1 to 1 large spec long to shorts just a few weeks ago. Anything under 2 is historically okay and bullish. Anything between 3 and 4 or more is bearish, signaling an imminent raid. We're now up to 3.26 to 1. Really bad sign. And using the same chart for silver, see where it's marked February 3rd and marked May 19th? On February the 3rd, the silver commercial net short position was 56,200 contracts. On May 19th, it was 51,300 contracts. This past Tuesday, 58,600 contracts. And on just Wednesday and Thursday of this week, with the silver commercials printing another 6,300 new contracts, almost all of them short, it's probably well in excess of 60,000 tonight. And you can see what happened to silver immediately following those peaks in February and May. I hate to give you all this bad news on a Friday and a Saturday, but you've got to be aware of what's going on. Once you're not caught flat-footed, I realize no one can go out there and cover, sell out long positions or anything like that on a Saturday or Sunday. And if you're given time on Monday, you might want to make the most of this information. If you're looking to add to your physical stack, at this point, I'd sit tight, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, we should all be rooting for lower prices anyway, right? Because in the end, the music's going to stop, this whole system's going to come crashing down, and every ounce you have is going to be almost infinitely more valuable later than it is now. So if they want to drive price back down below 15 for silver, they want to drop gold back down to 1140 or 30 or 20, great! We should all be happy about it. But what sickens me, again, is the fraud, the criminal fraud, the disgusting fraud, scam, sham that is the COMEX and this paper derivative trading. And nobody cares. Nobody pays any. Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, no, it's fine. There's buyers, there's sellers. Nobody takes delivery anyway. Who cares? Don't you understand? Does that stock market example make sense to you? There should be a limit to the leverage. The banks should not just simply be able to create as many shorts as they want, some infinite amount of short naked paper based upon whatever gold they have in the vaults. If you're going to put 5 million ounces of readily deliverable gold in your vault, I'll give you 10 times leverage. That means you have 50 million ounces of paper that you can create. If you divide that by 100 ounces per contract, that gives you a total float of 500,000 in open interest. You want to drive that thing to 600,000 in open interest, then you got to put another million ounces of gold in the vault. See what I mean? But instead, the banks, they drive open interest up 22,000 in 2 days. They didn't do jack. They didn't add any gold. They just simply created a new paper, with the effect of squashing demand, soaking it up, muting the momentum, stalling it out so it doesn't become this virtuous cycle and start breaking out through all these technical levels and getting attention and calling attention to the fiat scam con artist game, all that stuff. Instead, they flatten it out. Eventually, these Momo chasers, they're all mostly automated HFTs anyway, just kind of get tired. They sit tight. Then the banks attack, raid price back down through the 200-day, drop price back down through the 100-day, and all these specs that jumped into gold get flushed right back out because all of a sudden their technical indicators are telling them to sell. All of the contracts that the banks issued on the way up, they buy back and close them back out by next week or the week after, price is all the way back down to where it started, around $1,450 in silver, maybe $1,120 in gold, and it's as if the last 2 weeks never happened. Sickening. And it's incumbent upon you to understand this. Frankly, it's incumbent upon you to be able to explain this to others so that they know to avoid this casino. The only winning move, as in war games, is not to play. If you play, you are going to get smoked. Because you might think, oh, it's free and fair. Yeah, well, CNBC tells me everything's fine. No, it's not. It's not free. It's not fair. It's criminal. It's fraudulent. It's a scam. Run by the bullion banks for their benefit. And we're seeing the latest example of that here on this week between the 14th, 15th, and 16th of October. Makes me sick. Now, we do try to have a lot of fun here in Turdville, but we're pretty passionate about what we do, as you can tell. If you're listening to this, I encourage you to join us. Like I said, a subscription to the TF Metals Report Vault, only $10 a month. There's 20 trading days a month. It's 50 cents a day. I think most people have gotten back to me and told me they think that's a bargain. I encourage you to join us. A lot of like-minded people here to help you get you through. But if not, that's okay. I understand. At least you heard this message today, because if you're still listening, you heard the whole message. And you've been warned about what is, I mean, 99% sure what is coming, maybe as soon as Monday. All right? Use this information to your advantage and be prepared to add to your stack at lower prices in the days ahead, preparing for the inevitable certainty of the collapse of this fractional reserve bullion banking system and everything that goes with it. In the meantime, that's 25, almost 26 minutes. I'll give you the rest of the weekend off. As you can tell, old turd needs a beer. Blood pressure's pretty high this afternoon. It's probably time to chill out, relax, watch some football. I encourage you to do the same. Nothing much we can do about it now, except understand what's happening, why it's happening, how it's happening, and then use that information to your advantage to get ready to pick up some physical at cheaper prices. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. I wish you the best. Come back on Monday. We'll see what happens next. This is Turd Ferguson signing off. And I'm out.